If you would, join me in standing as we read our scripture for the evening. It has been our tradition here to stand for the reading of the scripture as a way of showing the scripture's honor. And tonight we are reading from the prophet of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 8 through 10. But as for you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, my chosen one, descended from Abraham, my friend, I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant, for I have chosen you and I will not throw you away. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. You may be seated. So I was really excited about this series to share with you all what God's been doing in my life. And then as I started to write the sermon, I realized it was probably one of the hardest sermons I've sat down to write because I couldn't figure out how to start it. They told us in preaching class in seminary that the hardest part of the sermon is the introduction and the second hardest is the conclusion. So if I never stop talking, then you'll understand why, right? And so as I started writing, a story came to my mind, and I started thinking that this story summarized for me, I think, my feelings on all that God's done with my accident. And don't worry, I'm going to get to the accident. So the story is about John Wesley. And John Wesley is the founder of Methodism. He lived in the 1800s, and he is someone that I'm very fascinated with because he just had this really incredible spiritual journey. He was raised by a preacher, which I relate to because my dad's a preacher. And he didn't come really to a spiritual awakening till his adult life. But when he was a child, when he was 5, his father's parsonage, which was called Epworth, the house that they lived in that was owned by the church, the Epworth caught on fire. And John was 5, and they had 8 children in the home. And so there were 8 children and 3 adults, John's mother and father, Susanna and Samuel. And then they had a servant named Betty who was there to care for the children. And so they all rushed to get out of the house. And Susanna wrote in her journal, it's a quote from her. She said, nothing but a thin wall kept the fire from the staircase. And so the fire was engulfing the house. Samuel actually woke up that night that him and Susanna were sleeping separately because she was sick. And so he was letting her rest in the separate room. And he woke up that night with people screaming, fire, fire, fire. And he thought someone else's house was on fire. And as he woke up, the roof was caving in on his house. And so he rushed to start getting everybody out. And so Betty, the nanny, I suppose we could call her, rushed to the nursery to fetch John, who was 5, and his little brother, Charles, who was 1. And so Betty scooped up Charles and was carrying him. And she told John, she said, follow me out the door. And so they started to leave the nursery and to go. The staircase was still open, but there was fire everywhere. And John started to walk out the door, and he saw the fire, and he got scared and went back into the nursery. Well, Betty didn't realize that he was gone. And she had got all the way downstairs with Charles, and she turned around and realized John wasn't there. And so Samuel ran upstairs and tried to get John, but when he tried to go up the stairs had been taken over with fire, and he couldn't go up anymore. And Samuel tried and he tried to go upstairs and get his son, and he couldn't get upstairs. And so he goes to the courtyard and he kneels down and he prays and cries out to God. And he just says, Lord, please just take my son's soul and let him be at peace. And in that moment, John swears in his journals that it was in that exact moment that he remembers waking up in his room and realizing that his room was on fire. He had fallen asleep from the smoke, and he awoke screaming for help. And no one could hear him because of the flames. And so he ran to the door and realized he couldn't get out. And the next thing he did is he went to the window and he started calling out. And the window looked over the courtyard, which is where everybody was, where his father had just knelt to pray. And he goes to the window screaming. And that's what this painting is of. And as he screams, they see him in the window. And they don't even try to find a ladder. They climb one person on top of another so that Samuel can reach John in the window and pull him out. And we have this incredible story recorded because Susanna and Samuel believed that God spared their entire family intentionally. And they wrote about this to everyone they knew. They shared this story everywhere. And John went on to found the United Methodist Movement, which actually is a part of multiple churches. We're not just the United Methodist Church, but we have the Methodist Episcopal Church. We have the Evangelical Brethren. We have the Salvation Army. We have all these churches that the Free Methodist Church that are all founded out of John Wesley's theological movement. And God spared him that night. And Charles Wesley, his little brother, is one of the most famous hymn writers of his day. And I thought about this story and I said, this just captures for me my emotions that I've had the past months as I've been thinking about what has happened in my life. And I think the reason is because years ago, God told me he wanted me to go into ministry. It's not what I wanted to do for my life. I wanted the complete opposite of ministry, but he said it's what he wanted for my life, and so I started down that path. And then I made the commitment, the public commitment, when I was commissioned as an elder to be in the life of ministry. And when I made that decision, my entire life became about God's work. My choices all became about God's work. What I wanted didn't matter anymore. And my family became all of us committed to what God wanted for our life. And it's an interesting thing to be in that kind of role. All of us are called to do the work of God, but when you stand before a whole group of people and you tell them that you're committing your entire life and every hour of your day to God's glory, you can't really just easily take it back. And as I thought about that, there was a reason the way that my accident happened the way that it did. I believe it's because God wanted it to be that way because he wanted me to do something with it. So I want you to think about that because now I'm going to explain to you what happened. Because I get that question all the time. Pastor Faith, what actually happened? The answer to that question is I don't really know. This is what I do know. After a couple months of riding, my husband and I decided we didn't want to ride double anymore. I never got to ride my bike because we always rode together. We only had one we shared. So we bought a second bike. I'd only had it a week. I've been riding it around the neighborhoods of Shalimar. We live right here on Meg's. And it was a gorgeous day. It had been raining for days. So I decided to go meet a friend for lunch. Here in Shalimar, I was going to go to Corner Cafe. I didn't have to go on the main road because I hadn't gone on the main road yet. So I left the church. I had a meeting that morning, a wonderful meeting where we were talking about all the good things God was doing for me in ministry. And I left that meeting and I went home and I put on my gear and I got to the edge of my driveway. And then my last memory is sitting on the edge of my driveway on my bike and I'm turning my head to look around the corner to watch a car come around Meg's. And I don't remember anything after that vividly. Somehow when I pulled out, I lost control of my bike and I rammed into a column, that column right there. And we think I probably popped the clutch and the bike jumped forward. And when it did, I panicked because I locked the bike into acceleration. My hand just froze in acceleration. So I topped out first gear when I impacted the column. And the way that I hit the helmet caught the edge of the column and it pushed my helmet up, which scraped my forehead and caused a large laceration on my forehead and I got a pretty good concussion. But the only injuries I had were to my face. Now, if you look at that column, it's a pretty good sized brick column there. My bike was destroyed. I bent the forks, which is the part that the handlebars and the wheel are attached to. I bent the frame of the bike, and I cracked the crankshaft and the engine block. It got to the shop, and they turned it on, and oil started shooting everywhere. And I think about the damage on my bike, and I think about the damage to me, and I realize that that bike absorbed the shock of that accident and spared me. Now, for that to happen, it meant that my angle of impact had to be just right. Things don't happen for a reason like that. They don't just happen. So that's the first place I saw God working as I looked at all of those things. But the more we unpacked what happened, I kept seeing God everywhere. For example, I looked at my phone, or AJ looked at my phone in the hospital, and he said, "Did you know you called 911? I was like, "Nope." He's like, "It's on your phone. You have a record of calling 911. Do you remember that?" I said, "I don't remember anything. I lost 15 minutes. I said, "I don't remember anything." He goes, "Well, you talked to 911 for X amount of minutes." He goes, "It's right here. It says you talked to him." I said, "Huh, look at that." Apparently, I called him from my Apple Watch. I do kind of remember holding my arm up to my face, but I don't remember why. I had people stopping randomly on the side of the road when they saw me there. And one of the guys who stopped was my neighbor who rides as well. And he picked the bike up off of me because me and the bike toppled over together. And he rides, so he knew how to pick the bike up without having to move me around. So I wasn't sitting there with this big old bike on top. Just so happened he was there. The first responder on the scene, the fireman that showed up, actually serves with my husband. 2 months later, he was able to tell me everything he knew from the accident because he was there. So all these things that I didn't know and I couldn't put the pieces together, he was filling me in on stuff that I didn't remember. Things like this don't happen for a reason. He didn't realize it was me. He had no idea it was me. Because he was just going as a first responder does. He doesn't pay attention to the person that he's serving. And he showed up to his duty station the next time and realized he was there to take care of me. And the craziest thing to me is that I had left to go to lunch. The church, I mean, I live right down the street from the church. The church heard the emergency vehicles. And the staff stopped and said, "We should pray for whoever they're going to help." And they had no idea those emergency vehicles were going for me. The staff were praying for me without knowing. Now, if those aren't God's places working, then I don't know what is. So one of the things that I wanted to talk with you all tonight, this passage from Isaiah, it stands out to me because Isaiah verse 9 says, "I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, 'You are my servant, for I have chosen you and will not throw you away.'" That's how I felt when I heard, reflected on all these things I just told you. I felt that God was saying, "Faith, you told me you were going to serve me in ministry for your life, and I'm not done with that yet." He said, "We're going to make this work, and you are going to keep serving because I just got started." He goes, it's like God said, "You just got going with this service thing and we're not finished." He's like, "So we're going to make it keep going. There's too many little things in the way that it happened for God to have not been hand in it." And there's a lot of times that God has called me back in my life, but none of them have been this dramatic. I guess that's a good thing. If they were all this dramatic, I'm not sure I could survive my life. One of the things from after I was in the hospital, my family doctor has been a long-term friend, a doctor of mine. He actually was on the committee that helped sponsor me into ministry when I was a teenager, early on in college. And so he's been with me and my journey for a long time. And when I was in the hospital, with the concussion, they said, now, when you go home, we don't want you to read. We don't want you to watch TV. We don't want you to have extensive conversations. Have you met me? And we want you to, you can't preach for 6 weeks. You can't go to work. You just have to go home and do pretty much nothing. Now, my accident happened the last week of November. That meant I was out of the church for all of Christmas season. My doctor came in after the neurosurgeon told me these things. And he looked at me. He said, Faith, I know that what you just received is one of the hardest things for you to do. But you have to commit to stepping out for Christmas, and you have to commit to taking care of yourself so you can do the ministry you're supposed to do. It's a message from God right there. If my Dr. Tom is not a prophet, then I don't know what he is, because that's what I needed. And he said, I know you don't sit still well. He said, but I want you to take this time and I want you to spend it well. He goes, don't waste it. Use it. Spend it with God. Renew your soul as you renew your mind. Now, people tell me things all the time that I don't listen to, right? We all do that. But I must have been in the right place for Tom to come talk to me, that God just had me ready to hear him, because I took what he said to heart and I went home and I did it. I had a 4-week spiritual renewal that me and God just sat around and we spent time together and we communed together, and I enjoyed the silence and the solitude and the simplicity of life, which is hard in today's age to do nothing. Verse 10 of this chapter says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will hold you up with my right hand. There were so many times as I sat there not being able to do the things that I wanted to do that I was discouraged. I mean, I felt like they were treating me like a person that couldn't do anything, like I was incapable of caring for myself. Every time they wanted me to get out of bed, I'm not joking. This was my, they're like, okay, sit up, stand up, and then step. Like that. Like I couldn't just get out of bed and walk someplace, because they're like, you could get dizzy. Don't just go somewhere. And I'm like, oh my goodness, people, can I when is this going to end? When can I be normal? And they said, eventually it'll get there. And it's this feeling like, am I ever going to be myself again? And that's when God just kept speaking to me and encouraging me. He said, don't be afraid, because I got this. I got it. We're good. So every time I got discouraged, I would remember this idea that God is going to strengthen me and he's going to hold me up. So I kept praying and I kept spending time with God and not thinking about the fact that the church was insane and I wasn't there. And of that time, God brought some things to me. He reminded me who I was in ministry, who I was as a pastor. And of that, ministry goals for this year came forward, because Philip, our lead pastor, wanted me and all of us, he challenged all the staff to come up with goals for ministry this year. And the first thing that came up is God said, do not abandon this idea of the bikes. Because before the accident, I had started to think about using this wonderful community that I loved and merging it with a Christian life that I love, and how do I bring the two together? And he said, don't abandon that. He said, you love the bikes, and it's brought a wonderful activity for AJ and I. We've been married 10 years. We have a new activity that we love. Marriage is important. You should always have something you love to do with your spouse. And he said, you're not going to give that up. You're going to use it. And so of that, I have started a new ministry called Blessed by Faith. It's a motorcycle blessing ministry that I do through Connection of the Church. So I've spent the past couple days actually out at Bike Fest offering prayer and blessings to people. But the idea of bringing what has happened, the idea of something completely horrible, which is crashing my bike, and where God is in that, and trying to bring hope to others who maybe may not feel it. So he said, you're gonna use the story and connect with others. Then he also told me two other things to kind of build upon this year as well. And that is, the 2 years ago, our church came the idea of having a firehouse ministry and going out to our firehouse and ministering at the firehouse itself. And so he wanted me to spend more energy on that this year and helping our people grow better in our faith as well. So these are the things that are my kind of my goals for me. And it all came out of solitude after the accident. And to be honest, I never would have gotten that in the month of December if I had been here, because I would have been at Christmas running around like crazy. And now he's reminding me of what he wants right now. So I've got that texting number up there just because I've had some people ask about things like the firehouse ministry and stuff like that. If this is something that intrigues you about what we're doing, I'd love for you to just send me a message and let me know, and we can talk about how to get involved. But the idea, though, is how do we go out and reach others so that they find that we are all kind of in the same place together? Because Isaiah was just bringing hope to the people of Israel. And that is our role today as well. You're going to find inside your worship guide, there's a card that's talking about this sermon series. And Mike, the next couple weeks, I'm going to kind of unpack a lot of the spiritual lessons that God taught me in the 6 to 8 weeks after the accident. Because when I kind of had my life turned upside down, I had to redefine who I was in my family, in my job, in my spiritual life, and all those things. And he taught me a lot of stuff. And so I'm going to share my own kind of lessons and hope that it helps others find a place that they might be able to grow as well. And so I truly believe that God really, no matter what happens, he works through it all. So that's why this week's message was titled, God, you can find God in unusual places. When things get crazy, we can find him because he works through all things. So feel free to share that card with someone now that you kind of know what this is all about. someone who needs that kind of message, and encourage them to come and hear how we can find God no matter what happens in life.